Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Let's turn to James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. We're continuing our series, Taming Your Tongue, Unleashing Your Future by Conquering Your Mouth. Somebody say, he's preaching to me. Now somebody say, he's preaching to you. All of us could work on this right here. Controlling what comes out of our mouths. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord the Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Somebody say, watch your mouth. Somebody make this declaration, I'm taming my tongue. I'm taming my tongue. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We've talked in the first few sessions about your mouth is a powerful weapon. It is a creative force and a destructive force. You and I get to choose what it does. Last week we talked about the mouth controlling the direction of our life, and tonight we're going to get into your mouth with God's word can both create and transform. And I know we haven't mentioned it lately, but you can get all of these sermons on Sundays and Wednesdays online for free, livingwaychurch.net, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. We're on Amazon Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and that is totally free. Go ahead and subscribe. Give us a five-star review if you would. And you say, how can you ask for a five-star review? Because it's the Word of God, so it deserves a five-star review. This is not just some bum's podcast. This is actually the Word of God being preached. And so we'd love for you to catch up if you've missed the first few sessions of this Taming Your Tongue series. But I don't want to rehash a lot of what we've done, but I do want to go back into a little bit of last week to prepare for this week. Your mouth is a powerful weapon. Your mouth is your gateway to your next. A lot of times when we're talking about what's coming out of your mouth, we automatically default back to four-letter words and profanity, that you shouldn't say this list of six or seven words. That's a given, church, that your conversation should not have those words once you come to Jesus. You say, well, there are some habits that are just hard to break. Oh, no, the blood of Jesus can break every habit immediately. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means when you make Jesus the Lord of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart that Jesus now sits on, your speech is going to be different. So it's not profanity that we're really talking about. It is negativity. It is godless. It is idle talk, I-D-L-E, talk that doesn't matter, neutral talk, talk that doesn't produce, changing negativity for positivity, more importantly, changing things that do not present or give life. By speaking the word of God, the promise of God, we now unleash resurrection, life, health, all of those things into our situation. Romans 10:9 says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I say that, and we've come from that verse to just declare this. If what you say and what comes out of your mouth, Jesus is Lord, if it's enough to save you, then Jesus is Lord. That declaration is enough to heal you, deliver you, bring prosperity into your life, bring God restoration and all God has. So I want to encourage you every day, wake up saying, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is my Lord. Just unleash that into your life as a believer. James chapter 3, verse 4, last session we talked about the ship's rudder. Take ships as an example. Verse 4 says, although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, that thin piece of wood most of the time, wherever the pilot wants to go, he can steer an entire ship by just changing the direction of the rudder. The three rudder facts that we discussed last week: the rudder controls the vessel's direction. The word of God, it compares and likens our tongue to the rudder of a ship. The rudder is one of the smallest mechanisms on a big ship, but it can turn the entire direction of that vessel. Your tongue might be one of the smallest members of your body, but remember this, church, it can change the direction of your life. It can change the direction of your family. Everything connected to you, everybody that's on your boat, if you can fix your mouth and get the rudder going the right direction, you can swing the direction of your life overnight. Things can start getting better, looking better, encountering what God wants to do by what is coming out of our mouths. The rudder does three things. The rudder controls the vessel's direction. Number two, the rudder only works when the boat is in motion. We could say it like this: the rudder only works when you do. The rudder does not work if the boat is anchored or if the boat is sitting at the dock. There has to be a movement of the vessel, of the ship, for the rudder to work. Can I encourage us that a lot of us are saying a lot, but we're not doing a lot? We're saying a lot, but we're stationary. But I believe when we have a forward movement to our life, that we can rudder and we can change the direction while we're moving by what we say. Number three. The rudder only works when there is pressure against it, because you use that pressure to turn all of the tonnage, all of the weight of that boat, of that vessel. Can I encourage you that with your mouth and what you say, you can overcome the pressures of life? You can make it through whatever is pressing up against you. Remember, pressure crushes some, but in others it elevates. Pressure can make diamonds in the right circumstances. So what do you sound like under pressure? What words are coming out of your mouth under pressure? When you are pressured, what words are you saying? What does your walk look like under pressure? Because it is in the moments of pressure that we find out who the real you is. If there's enough pressure tonight when you get home, your language will change. I heard one of my friends, I said, how did the New York Giants, they're a New York Giant fan, I said, how was your house on Sunday night? Said a lot of profanity. That nice person just started cussing up a storm at the TV, at millionaire football players that don't even know their name. Just because a little pressure called Micah Parsons showed up, their entire vernacular changed. I'm here to tell you, the devil wants to do more than sack you. He wants to kill you. And when he brings the pressure of life into your boat, into your life, what you say, get thee behind me, Satan. That's me using the rudder. That's you use it. Get under my feet. In and under pressure, what you say matters. Your word, your mouth with God's word creates. God's word in our mouth creates. Creation, remember this, church, means something out of nothing. Creation is different from building. Building is you are taking parts that are already there and you are manipulating them and putting them together to build something. But I love creation because creation means something out of nothing. When we talk about the word of God creating, we are saying where there was nothing, out of nothing came something. You and I have that power in our mouth. When we declare the word of God, you can look at nothing and create something. You can create miracles. You can create healing. You can create deliverance. You can create prosperity. You can create anything you need by saying the right thing. We find out one of the greatest dimensions of God from the very beginning of human history. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we find out how he created in verse 2. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The first thing the Bible teaches us is the creative power of the Word of God. Before we get to the verse 3 where God says, let there be light, can I encourage you where God's word works the best? The Bible says that the earth was without form. God's word works great in the formless places, in the places that do not have order, that are in disorder and disarray. In the chaotic places of your life, when you speak the word of God, just like it did in Genesis at the beginning of human history, just like it did in Genesis 1 when planets were created and animals were created and man was created. When the word of God is spoken, when you speak it into disorder, immediately order begins to form. We've got a dog at our house, y'all. Let me rephrase that. Mandy's got a dog at our house, y'all. Now, I don't mind this dog. It's a little French bulldog. She weighs about 22, 23 pounds. She looks at Mandy like a friend. She looks at me like the ruler of all worlds. Mandy will say, now Gizmo, Gizmo's her name, it says, now Gizmo, let's go potty. Gizmo, let's do this. And Gizmo will not even move, will not even look her direction, will not even flinch, just laying on the couch as if she's deaf and cannot hear. However, when I say, Gizmo, and she sits and looks at me. Why is that? Because there's something about my voice that when I say something, she wants to carry out what I'm saying. If I have that kind of power over a dog, when all I'm trying to do is get it to eat, sleep, go to the bathroom, or do something very trivial, how much more the word of God in my mouth as a son of God, as an anointed son of God, as a spirit-filled son of God, as a son that knows the word, as a son that knows the father, as a son that has a relationship, how much more power and authority do we have that when we tell the devil what God has already promised and what God has already orchestrated and what God has already done? Can I just remind you that he is a defeated foe? The enemy is defeated. 2,000 years ago, God already won every battle and won every war. The devil just hopes that you don't remember and you don't realize what God has done. And God has given us that power and us that authority. The first thing is in the disarray, the chaotic. He said, when I speak the word, he said, I'm bringing order to the formless places. I'm bringing order to chaos. Some of us have been living a chaotic life. Some of us, right when we feel like we've finally got our head above the water, some other attack happens. And I want to remind you that every attack is from the devil. And every attack that is from the devil will fail when it is put up against the word of God. So don't cry about it, pray about it, praise God. Don't whine about it, worship about it. Can I encourage you that when you unleash the word of God, it brings form, it brings order, and the chaos of life has to bow to the power that is in the word of God coming out of your mouth. The second thing, the earth was without form and void. Void means empty. The word of God coming out of your mouth into empty places should fill them up. So can I encourage you, church? I know it's going to seem a little silly. Speak to your bank account. Speak to your marriage. Speak to your family. Oh, Baron, speak to the nursery in your house. Speak to the loveless places. Speak to the peaceless places. Speak to the joyless places. Speak to the empty place, because God is getting ready not only to fill it, but our God has a history of running over cups that are presented. I want to encourage you, speak the word to the empty place. I speak the word to the balcony tonight. I speak the word to the side sections tonight. And I say, Lord, fill them up, not with church people. God, fill that balcony up with drug addicts. Fill that balcony up with those that are sexually confused. Fill these every seat. Lord, make us have 2 Wednesday night services. Make us have 4 Sunday services, God. Speak to the empty. Speak. You say, I feel foolish speaking to my bank account. Why? Jesus said, talk to the mountains. If the mountains have ears, so does Randolph Brooks. If the sycamore has ears, so does your doctor office. You can speak to anything. You say, well, I feel a little crazy doing that. Have some crazy faith. I'd rather be crazy and faith-filled than normal and faithless. I'd rather people laugh at my dream than have no dream at all. I'd rather vomit some vision that makes people cross-eyed and shake their head while I'm speaking to the empty places of my life. Because when God found an earth, when he created earth, he found it formless and empty, but with three words, let there be. It showed up. Could it be you are one phrase away from fullness? And I don't know what your fullness is, but I know that when you tame your tongue, that you are unleashing your future. Let's fill up your family. What void are you fighting? What are you missing in your life? Let's speak to that thing before we leave tonight. Let's speak that thing full. Let's speak that thing running over. The earth was without form. It was void and it was dark. Oh, the word works great in dark places. I hear so much negativity from believers about the state of the world. Now, I'm not naive to the problems. I'm not naive to the dangers. I'm not naive to the darkness. But hear a pastor's heart from the place of Jesus coming back and what we're really called to do as the church. I'm excited when I see the darkness in this world. Because the darker San Antonio gets, the brighter Living Way gets. The darker this world gets, the brighter Jesus gets. He said, I am the light. If you have all of these lights on, you might not place value in each of these lights. But when there's only one light in the middle of darkness, every eye is going to be on that light. Every eye is going to be on that hope. Every eye is going to be on that kingdom. I am here to tell you, speak to the dark places. You say, what dark places are you talking about? I might be talking about your bedroom, but I might be talking about Washington, D.C. There's a lot of dark places around you, and there's a lot of us that are rebuking the darkness. How about we light a lamp instead? How about instead of us cussing the darkness, how about we unleash the promise of God in the darkness? Instead of us complaining about living in the dark, how about we become the light of the world that God has called us to be? The miracle is in your mouth. You can cuss it or you can create it. You can complain about it or you can create it. You can whine about it or you can worship. You can, all of these things come right back to your mouth. I believe that if our news stations for 30 days would take a pledge to only speak good things, our nation would begin to change. 30 days, and that's a physical thing. But when you get on, I mean, I was watching the 6 o'clock news today, and I was waiting for the weather to come on. The first report is that gas jumped 60 cents last night. I'm glad I filled up 2 days ago. Praise God. But you know what I'm going to do in a couple days when I got to fill up? And yes, I do fill up about every 4 days. I'm going to speak to the pump. See, some of y'all are laughing. Some of y'all are shaking their head. Why? You complain about it. You're speaking about it. Why can't I speak about it? You're complaining about your in-laws. Why can't you just pray about them instead of gossip about them? What? Oh, it's getting tight now. You shouldn't want your baby mama to fail. That's the mother of your children. You need to learn how to co-parent. You want her to be blessed. You want her to be a millionaire. You want her to be saved, sanctified. She's not going to live in the mansion with you in heaven. She's going to be on the other side. Praise God. Speak to the darkness. Speak to the chaos, the formless. We speak to the formless. We speak to the empty. We speak to the darkness. And God said in verse 3, let there be light. We find out very, very quickly one of the greatest distinctions about our God is the power in which his word carries. And I'm so glad that God doesn't save his word for himself, but he divvies it out. Anybody who wants to say this word can say this word. Anybody who wants to stand on the exceeding precious promises of God can stand on those precious promises. Those precious promises aren't for the Pope or a pastor somewhere. They are for every believer and follower of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you for the next 3.5 months of this year. I challenge you, speak to the formless, speak to the empty, and speak to the darkness. And I don't care what's going on in the world. Watch your world begin to take form. Watch the creative power come January 1st. You're going to look back and say, I tamed my tongue, and look at what the Lord has done. The tongue is powerful. It can spew out deadly venom, or it can be a fountain of faith, hope, and life. Because of flesh and sin, we struggle with this issue. I think that all of us will always have the opportunities to let something vile come out of our mouth, something that destroys what God is doing. We will always fight those urges, but you should be a lot better fighter today than you were last year or 10 years ago. It should be months between your flesh outs, praise God. Shouldn't be every Thursday, every Friday. It should be months. And you can say, you know, in those trailer parks in Oklahoma where it's like it's been 5 days since a tornado ran through here and flipped all the trailers. You should start that on your bathroom mirror. It's been 6 days since I talked negative. It's been 8 days since I talked negative. You get up to it's been 8 months. Your life is going to be so full of Christ, so full of his word and his promises. But because of flesh and sin, it will always be a struggle here with the issue of taming our tongue. That's why God's word says so much about controlling your tongue. In the final 2.5 minutes I have tonight, I want to run through some straight word that's going to encourage you tonight. James chapter 3, verse 8. We didn't get there last week. It says, no man can tame the tongue. You say, Pastor, that doesn't help me because you've been talking about taming our tongue. Man can't tame the tongue. The Holy Spirit can. That's why Paul said things like, I speak in tongues more than you all. Why? Because I can't trust my tongue to say the right thing. So I let God's Spirit speak through me. Sometimes, and listen, and I've been harping on that, don't get your theology from Bambi. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And I flip the script. If you don't have anything nice to say, use discipline to say something good. Make yourself say something good. I mean, you controlled yourself in the job interview for 30 minutes. You proved you can do it. You went in there and that interviewer had a big old wart the size of a dime on his cheek, had a birthmark coming down the side of his face. He's bald. He's 487 pounds. He's got a tie that's this short. And you didn't say nothing about all of that for 30 minutes. Had breath that could stop a locomotive. You didn't say nothing about that for 30 minutes. You controlled your tongue because of something you wanted. Do you want it bad enough, church, to crucify your flesh and say, I'm not going to talk like that? And I promise you this, church, I haven't said this yet, but I'm going to say it a lot the next 2 weeks. If you don't have something nice to say, get in your word. If you don't have something faith-filled to say, read your Bible. Man, it blessed me today when I saw that one of my friends said, I got this out of my devotion today. I'm glad he's reading a devotion, praise God. I'm talking about David Miller here on the front row. Because the David I knew wouldn't have even been able to spell devotional. And now on a Wednesday, you know how easy it would have been for the old David to say, well, I'm going to go to church tonight. I'm going to get word tonight. No, he said, no, on a Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to get in my word. Why? Because I need to know what to say, what to come out of my mouth to create a life for my family, my kids, my marriage, my future. He said, man cannot tame the tongue. It's abhorrently evil, full of venom. If man can't tame it, the Holy Ghost can. So be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt talk. Didn't say profanity. Let no corrupt talk. Is it the answer to a question? Is it the solution to a problem? Is it a prayer for a need? Is it encouraging? Is it faith-filled? Is it life-building and life-giving? If not, let no corruption or corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. I mentioned it a couple services ago, one of my favorite podcasters that is formerly a pastor. His podcast blew up and became so successful that he resigned his church. It's a Christian podcast, and I'm probably the number one Christian podcast on the face of the planet. And I was shocked because I was listening to it a few weeks ago, and he started dropping F-bombs. Started talking about things sexually that should not be discussed in mixed company or in public spaces. When believers called him out on that, he said, I've never been convicted about the way I talk. To which I say, dear sir, if you've never been convicted by talking like that, I don't know if you've ever met my friend, the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost not only tells me what to say, it also tells me what not to say. Times that I type things out, the Holy Ghost says, you better delete that. Do not hit send on that. That's not going to help the kingdom of God. That's not going to help the situation. Speak light. Pray for them. Then this pastor had the nerve to say, and for all those that keep sending me Ephesians 4:29, I know what that says, and that's not what it's talking about. Oh, it's talking about a whole lot more than just profanity on a podcast. The Bible says if it's not going to build up something or someone, don't let it come out of your mouth. It's not cute when pastors cuss. It's not cute when pastors get risky in the pulpit or risque in the pulpit. It's not cute. Because whatever they say publicly, I promise you they say 10 times worse privately. We've got to clean it up, church. Let no corrupt talk. Give me just a couple more minutes for two more verses. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always... You know, I went in a deep dive in the Greek and the Hebrew about the word always. You know what always means in Greek? Always. You know what it means in Hebrew? Always. You know what it means in Aramaic? Always. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. I'm not one of those people. I know people that will salt their food before they ever eat it. I don't do that because I've been to Whataburger sometimes, and the fry guy or fry girl there gets very liberal with the salt, y'all. I mean, I like some salt with my fries, not a little fries with my salt. So I got to taste it first. Check this out. The Bible says always be gracious in what you say. Season it with salt. Meaning this, eat your words before you say them. Eat your words before you say them. Before you hit send on the text, read it a couple times. Ask the Holy Ghost, should I send this? Is this going to make it better, worse, or is this going to be neutral? Season it with salt. Check this out. If you don't like the way it tastes, they're not going to either. So season it again. There are times when I have sent emails to Pastor Mandy. Don't only proofread this for grammar, but is there anything in here that should not be said in this situation? If Mandy is unavailable, I will send it to Pastor Becky. If Pastor Becky's not available, I will wait on one of them to become available because I can't trust nobody else. If I send it to Tyler, he's going to be like, no, you got to come at him harder than that. He's not good for me in those situations. Let every word, church, let every word always be gracious, seasoned, you know that guy, seasoned with salt. If you don't like the way it tastes, they won't either. We live in a generation that loves to tell people off. Let's not tell people off. Let's tell them something valuable. Maybe it's the first time. Bishop, stand on your feet. Bishop tells a story. It's been a long time since I heard the story. but happened in the old building, the Family Life Center, which is now the Catalyst Kids and Youth Building, about a young lady. Bishop, how old was that young lady? I think it was on a Wednesday night, that had never heard the words, "I love you," never been hugged. In her 20s, a young lady on a Wednesday night next door, in her 20s, she's walking down the aisle. Bishop's walking down the aisle. He hugs her and says, "I love you." To which her reply is, "You're the first person to ever do both of those things." Who would have thought you could live in America and be 25 years of age and never have somebody graciously talk to you? Season words that are going to season your life. That's one of the things that we always encourage our lead team. Is you never know what the people that are coming to Living Way are going through. You don't know what kind of life they walked out of on a Wednesday night to come to church. You don't know what kind of marriage issues they're having, and they left home to come here. Not to be told off, but so that somebody could give them a gracious word, seasoned with salt, that will change their life.